Being in California, I was fully aware that I would be preaching on the Lord of the Dance and the lectionary, which is suggested scripture for any particular Sunday, had two passages that were related to dance. The one that I read from 2 Samuel about King David dancing before the Lord, and another from Mark 6 about Herod and the dance that was used in leading him to do bad things, the execution of John the Baptist. So with all of that in mind, here I was in my hometown in Santa Paula, California, and I drove by the junior high school where dance became a reality for me. Because in junior high, when I was in seventh grade, the school had a Friday night dance. I asked my mom about it because my friends were all going, and she wasn't too thrilled with the idea. She said that she had learned from her elders in church that dancing is not something that you really want to do as a Christian young person. She said, you know, us Methodists, and along with others like Baptists, they don't dance. The ones that dance are like the Catholics or the Presbyterians. They're the ones that dance. So, with this little bit of ambivalent background, I went with my next-door neighbor, Ray. His mother gave us a ride to the dance, and along with the other seventh-grade boys, we arrived in the school cafeteria, and all the boys lined up on one wall. We all lined up facing the other side of the room where all the girls were lined up on the wall. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a disaster. Nothing's going to happen. Well, they started music, and to my surprise, some of the really cool seventh grade boys, not my crowd, some of the really cool seventh grade boys walked across the floor to some of the seventh grade girls, asked them to dance. They went on the floor, and they started dancing. And I thought to myself, where did they learn how to dance? We were all in sixth grade together, and none of us danced there. Now here we are in seventh grade at junior high, and there's people out there dancing. And it seemed like all the girls knew how to dance. All of them. They all knew how to dance. And the cool boys knew how to dance. But I did my part. I held up the wall the whole evening. Along with my neighbor Ray and the other boys, we kept that wall secure. Our scripture passage this morning from 2 Samuel is an interesting passage. King David, you remember King David, the boy who stood up to Goliath, a boy who had such faith in God that with his slingshot, he slew the giant Goliath. Well, David grew up to be a person of faith and of nobility. David became king of Israel. And scripture tells us that he really had a twofold responsibility. He was the king. He was the decision maker. He was the military leader. And we read in the story, he led an army of 30 of Israel's select to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we don't know that much about the Ark of the Covenant. We know about Indiana Jones and the story in that movie, but the Ark of the Covenant represented everything to Israel. It represented the presence of God. It represented a place of worship, and it had been taken from them by the Philistines and held for a long time. And this story is about when Israel finally got the ark back and they returned it to the city of David, to Jerusalem, and there was great celebration. How do I compare that? Maybe if you think about whatever country wins the World Cup, there's going to be great celebration in that country. Whatever team wins the Super Bowl, there are parades and there are gatherings of people, and people celebrate. For the Israeli people, getting the Ark of the Covenant which was the center of their culture, their religion, their faith, the very essence of who they were with people. Getting the ark back was a celebration. And the people celebrated. King David, he was the leader. And he danced before God. The bulletin we had last night for the Sabbath service had a picture, an artist's rendition of David dancing, wearing his priestly outfit, and there are others around him with tambourines and other instruments. And in that picture, they all had smiles, for this was a wonderful occasion. They danced in the presence of God. They understood the joy of knowing God. Let me say more about that this way. When I left church last Sunday, I drove home and got my things together, and Debbie said to me, "You're going to be okay. Are you going to stay awake?" And I said, "Yeah, the timing is good. I'm leaving Phoenix just when the Diamondbacks are starting." So I turned on the radio, listened to the first part of the Diamondback game. Until I was out in the middle of the desert somewhere, I lost radio contact, and I lost the Diamondbacks. It wasn't until I arrived in California looking for the game, thinking it was long over with, I did get the Dodgers playing the Angels. And in that game, this was already hours later, I'm in California, they announced, "Well, that marathon game in Arizona has finally ended, that 16-inning game, and the Diamondbacks lost." So I thought, good thing I didn't hear it. But when I left Phoenix, I had the Diamondbacks. When I got to LA, I had the Dodgers and Angels. As you know, when you drive across the desert, in the in-between time, you just listen to whatever's on the radio. Whatever you can pick up from Utah or someplace. And I heard a sermon. There was a preacher preaching on Isaiah 41:10, which is one of my favorite verses. "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." A passage that has always been a source of comfort for me, one that I would turn to sometimes in times of anxiety or fear. And the pastor over the radio did a masterful job. He broke down this verse phrase by phrase. He did explaining. I thought, what a wonderful sermon. And then he concluded with this thought. He said, "Christians, why don't we use the name of Jesus more often? Why don't we understand the power and authority of the name of Jesus?" And so he encouraged the listeners, when you're afraid of something and you don't know what to say, say Jesus. Or you nearly have an automobile accident and you want to say something, you don't know what to say, say in the name of Jesus. Or you get results from a doctor's test and you don't like that. And you don't know what to do, what to feel, the first thing out of your mouth, say, "In the name of Jesus," and receive the presence of God, the power. Because when you know Jesus, then you know Jesus in your heart. And the joy you feel at simply knowing Jesus makes you want to dance. The other passage assigned to this Sunday, which I didn't read, but it's the story of Herod, who was not Jewish. He was not Hebrew. He was put in place as a ruler over Israel by the Romans. The Romans put him there. He was sort of the Romans' puppet, but he ruled over Israel. And Herod, his life was like rulers in that day. He did whatever he wanted. He had the authority of the Romans. He had the backing of the Roman army. He went to Rome and visited his brother Philip. He decided he liked his brother's wife better than his own wife. So he dumped his wife, took Philip's wife, and had the Romans to back him up, and he couldn't be stopped. And Philip's wife and Herod conspired in this together. So she came back with him to Jerusalem, and they were ruling. And John the Baptist, the man of God, the prophet, was out, and in his preaching and calling people to repent, he said, "What our ruler has done is not right." He took his brother's wife. He disposed of his wife. That is not how God would have us live. And Herod hated John for saying that publicly. Herod's wife hated him all the more. So you know the story. One day Herod and his buddies were eating and drinking and being merry, and Philip's daughter, Herod's wife's daughter, danced before them. And she danced, and they laughed, and they were entertained, and she, as she danced, and the more he had to drink, Herod finally said, "What a wonderful dance. I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you half my kingdom." Saying things stupid, as people sometimes do when they have too much to drink. Well, the young girl went straight to her mom and said, "Herod just said I could have anything I want. What should I ask for?" And mom finally had her opportunity to get back at John. She said, "Tell Herod what you want is the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Herod felt he was trapped in a corner upon hearing that. What would he do? He just spouted out in front of all his friends. He gave his word that she could have whatever she wanted. So rather than standing up to her or his friends, he went and ordered that an executioner go to the prison cell where John the Baptist was being held, and they cut off his head and brought the head to Herod. This is a story of dance in the negative perspective. But this story is preceded in Scripture by a story of victory in the name of Jesus. And this is in the Bible right before the story of Herod, because though John the Baptist was in prison, Jesus was becoming strong, and his followers were learning, and they were understanding the power of God, the joy of God, the privilege of serving God. And Jesus finally came to a point where he said to his disciples, go out in my name, in the authority of God, and lead people to repent and turn to God. Lead them to healing, and lead them to joy, lead them to understanding what God is like. And the disciples went out and did that. In the passage, Jesus says to them, don't take anything with you. Don't take extra clothing. Don't take extra money. Don't take anything with you. Just go. In other words, just be totally dependent on God. And they did. And they came back with stories. Jesus, we talked to people. They listened. We prayed for people. They were healed. We did things, and marvelous things happened. Now, later on, there were other occasions when Jesus would send them out for longer periods of time. And there he said, do take things with you. Take supplies with you. But he wanted them to learn. And what they learned was that being sent by Jesus was very powerful. Very powerful and life-changing. Debbie and Hannah always check on me when I'm writing my sermons and see how I'm doing, and they sometimes will ask me if I need any help. And when I was working on this sermon, Hannah asked me, "Well, what are you preaching about?" And I said, "Lord of the Dance." And she ran. She ran to my niece Justine's room and came back with this plaque that is Debbie's. And she said, "Dad, here, this fits. Use this." Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. In this life, we encounter ups and downs, don't we? If we say no, we're kidding ourselves. In this life, we encounter ups and downs. But the Lord, Jesus, with us, gives us what we need to succeed. We here in Arizona, last night, the clouds were dark. I said, Debbie, is it going to rain? She said, no, it's been this way all week. It looked like it's going to rain, and sometimes it will, and sometimes it don't. We don't ever know when the ups and downs come. But what we do know is that the name of Jesus gives us the presence of mind to call upon God and trust in God. And this becomes true. This becomes true. Like that passage, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. King David had his ups and downs, but the presence of God led him to want to dance. Is that a strange concept? Is that weird? Maybe my mom and the Methodists and the Baptists of those days may have felt so, but it's like this way. When a tennis player scores a point, they do this. When a football player scores a touchdown, they throw the ball on the ground. When a baseball player hits a home run and crosses home plate, they look upward. And in sports, people celebrate. When things go well, we celebrate. When things go bad, this passage is teaching us also to celebrate. For the Lord of the dance is the Lord of life all the time. We dance of the joy of the presence of God during good times, and we dance because of the presence of the Lord in bad times. Dance, dance. Amen.